ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston. Now, this is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's Thursday on the Press Box, and we are ecstatic you are along with us for the ride, for however long it might be, on your lunch hour, in between, at the office, at your desk, or terrestrial or not. We love you, and we're glad you're boxers taking part in the show. So step in the ring and let's throw some punches. Lots to get to today. Nicholas is here. I'm here. And so we're all here, a part of one big story, which is the Astros continue to win. Six home runs later, the only negative drawback last night was Alex Bregman suffered an injury that you may be slightly concerned about. But overall, a good night was had by Houston sports fans as they were witnessing their Astros take another step in the silver boot, Nick, or at least one of the two that they should have.
The silver boot series.
Stupidest thing ever. If it's going to be a boot, be boots, because you don't wear just one. And secondly, just put the Astros star on it and realize the Rangers suck so bad, we don't care.
Agreed. And you never, basically never hear me ever refer to this series as the silver boot series. I just don't do that. It's just not what I normally do. But the good news is the Astros put a whooping on the Texas Rangers. And I know a lot of you Rangers fans do live and reside here in Houston, so you might be a little upset about the situation, but guess what? I don't care.
Who cares?
Because like what Joel said, six home runs, two home runs by Altuve and McCormick, and I'm absolutely loving it.
Chaz hands.
I mean, I don't see how if you're an Astros fan, you're not liking Chaz more and more each game. I mean, I'm not saying
more in center field if Kyle Tucker was healthy.
Well,
although Miles Straw, to his credit, like you said, he took my wake-up call, and he's been playing better of lately, but everything that I see I like about Chaz McCormick, except for his batting average, and even that continues to get better.
What? He got two home runs yesterday, so, I mean, if he can continue to get hits, that's all good. Hey, Kyle Tucker has an excuse. I didn't know it was a COVID situation, right? I had no idea.
I don't think he did either, but they just said, James Click said he had symptoms, so we're going to be border on the side of caution, and we're going to, you know, take it a day at a time. Well, if that means that Chaz is still in the lineup, so be it.
Yeah.
And then when Tucker comes back, if that means Miles Straw might not be, I'm still fine with it. The bullpen still makes me shiver a little bit.
They didn't do too bad yesterday, though.
Not too bad, but at the same time, I want the confidence of knowing every single time Dusty goes to take the ball from the starter that who he's going to give it to is going to be able to get through at least a batter or two, if not, need I ask too much, a whole inning. That would be outstanding. Maybe start without walking someone. And I don't want to think that two of my starters have to be in the bullpen in order for me to feel comfortable, i.e. Jake Odorizzi and Christian Javier.
Yeah. I mean, Javier had two innings pitched. I guess you're referring to Raley in yesterday's game in particular. 0.1 innings pitched, one hit. I think he had a pitch count of nine with six strikes.
Javier, I'm just referring to there's been a streak going, and it's not every single guy, but more times than not over the past 2 weeks, when a guy comes in out of the bullpen, he walks the first guy.
Yeah. Well, and that needs to stop. But look, it's notorious. Everybody knows it. The Astros bullpen is a good team with a really bad bullpen. I mean, it's pretty obvious. I think Click knows it. I think Crane knows it. I don't think Crane's going to be as cheap as we think.
I hope you're right.
I don't think he's going to be that cheap about this whole situation.
Now, Dr. Dre on 290 has been the one driving the bus saying that he's not going to want, he doesn't, you know, they got rid of C-Sheck at the start of the year because they didn't want to have the salaries on the threshold of going over the cap number. That to me should not be an issue right now because your team's this good. Now, with all the question marks we had going into the season, if this team was underachieving again, if it had a regular season mirroring the regular season last year when they were just a 500 team, I'd be more apt to say I side with Jim Crane. You've got a big decision coming up on Correa. You don't need to spend more than you have. You don't need long-term contracts for big money. I get all that. But because this team has proven to you the exact opposite, that Yuli and Altuve and Yordan, they bounce back beautifully and then some, that your offense is first in, or top three in almost every statistical category, and your starting pitchers have been better than average, what it tells you is, I got to be in go-for-it mode again. And I can't sit there on my hands and say, I'm not going to reach back into my pocketbook and put the money on the table so that I can do the little things that need to be done to take us to the next level.
Yeah, I mean, they got to do what they can as long as this core is still on this roster. I mean, you already lost key pieces. I'm not saying that we absolutely are happy that George Springer is no longer on this roster, but the way he's playing, I don't think you have, you know, any type of remorse or regret with that move. But as long as Alex Bregman, and I know he hasn't been doing well, and now he's officially injured, but as long as Alex Bregman, Jose Altuve, you know, who am I leaving out? Brantley, all the main players are still
Correa.
Correa, obviously, are still on the team. You gotta do that. And that happens this year. That happens this year, obviously, with Correa, because Correa could be gone. So obviously you want to do everything you can. I wouldn't be cheap either. I would be totally willing to even slightly overspend if that's the case. Not necessarily overspend significantly, but just slightly overspend to the point where, you know what, we're put in a situation where the player has a lot of leverage. So in this particular instance, this player is going to command a certain amount of money. Let's overspend a little bit, because I think this is what it's going to take to get the Astros bullpen on the next level and the Astros in general as a team in the next level going into the postseason. It's possible, man.
It's
very possible.
And along the lines of what we heard when Correa was very public with the way that the negotiations went, I don't care if you're not going to be big money long term at this point.
Right.
But what I do care about is short term, you're focused on fixing this bullpen by whether it be a few subtle moves or one a little bit more significant move that gets at least two arms into that pen that give you the kind of help that you need. And to be honest with you, that this team deserves based on how they've played. I continue to say this. This team is too good to have a bullpen this bad. And the fact that there's still plenty of time to fix it while you're still in the heat and the thick of everything. To be honest with you, the other side of the equation would be, if I'm the Yankees right now, I've overpaid through my rear end, and yet I'm underperforming, and I don't know if I'm going to snap out of this, and I've also seen some injuries, again, to some of my significant pieces. I'm not spending any more than I've already spent. I've got to try to handle some things internally, figure out what I'm doing with my manager, figure out, because I already have too many resources. But if I'm the Astros and I say, that's not us. We were kind of in a holding pattern to see what we had and where we were going. It's now obvious we can go a lot of places. It's now not as much about the players on the field as it is about James Click and Jim Crane saying, now it's our turn to do our role to make sure you get there.
Yeah. Look, and look, to the Astros' defense, Joel, and to the point that you're kind of making as well, to their defense, it is kind of difficult for them to make these moves considering some of the arms that are playing this year. They probably earned themselves a certain amount of money in an upcoming contract going forward. So you still have to pay certain players that have done well. And how are you gonna do that and address the bullpen at the same time? Because there's existing players, right? Like, are you gonna have to pay Fromber? Are you gonna have to pay?
Well, but they're under team control. So most of your guys, your young arms, your Frombers, your Javiers, your Keedys, they're under control, team control at reasonable salaries for the next 3 to 5 years. You have a decision to make with Greinke. He's free at the end of the year. You're going to have another decision to make that's pretty much already been made, I think, with Verlander. But then you're also going to have a surplus of money if you're not going to go in the direction of those two guys, right? So then we go back to what we said even a year ago. You got Springer's money off the books. You got Reddick's money off the books. You've got who's my closer? Osuna's money off the books. Now you continue with Verlander and Greinke. I don't have sympathy for you, Jim Crane. I understand you went through a pandemic, but we're over that, and the fans are back, and you're getting all your money back. And on top of that, you're saving all these oodles of salaries from all these different guys. Spend it, because by the time you're worried about what happens 3 to 5 years down the road, your core group might not be good enough for you to even think about being competitive. So you just go, you're not going to have to worry about it. It's important you do it now, while you still have a chance to win another one.
Yeah, well, that's why that core is so important. It's important to make those moves because of the core. And you have a great offensive team. And so, just like you said, there's no excuse. There's no excuse a team with this type of offense should be struggling with the bullpen right now. If you have a team with this much offense, the last thing you need is a bullpen to come in and mess everything up. So, particularly in close games. I mean, when you look at the slate of baseball games yesterday, there was a bunch of good games. I mean, you had an 8-7 game with the walk-off win. I think there was a 10-8 score. There was an 8-7 score. There was a bunch of offensive games yesterday, including
the spin rate's down.
Oh, yeah, Garrett Cole probably.
Yeah, spin rate's down. Offensive numbers are going up.
Your boy sounds depressed after games. Your boy sounds absolutely depressed after games.
I don't even know why we're talking about this. I'm upset we're doing it in the middle of the season, and I just want to go back to being dominant with sticky things on my fingers. Please.
Look, we're all just trying to play by the rules, play by what the commissioners handed out going forward. And so spin rate's not everything. You can still pitch well if you don't have a high spin rate.
I'm really confused because I thought that the thing to do was to not play by the rules and be really great. And then when they said play by the rules, I didn't want to, but now I have to, and I think I can be okay.
Oh, come on, man. Seriously? And look, Ryan Spader, great get by the bench this morning. We cut up some of that because there's a lot to get to. I like this guy a lot. I like him for a lot of reasons. None more so, regardless of all the valuable things he brought to the table yesterday that we were talking about, but the fact that he said he doesn't care if Jeff Passan's mad at him. Damn right you don't, and I don't care either. Joel Osteen Jr. can go sit there and do his Elmo impression on SportsCenter, but guess what, Jeffy? It's coming at you from the Dodgers and the Yankees and all those big teams.
Well, I'd slow your roll on it because he just tweeted, 12:42, Ryan Spader, I deeply regret everything that I said. It has turned my life upside down. It was a mistake, and I should not have reported on unfounded allegations. I sincerely apologize to all of those impacted. It should not have happened, and it will not happen again. Stick to stats.
No.
Yes.
What?
Wait a minute. 30 minutes
ago. He was on the bench this morning.
I know.
He said he doesn't regret coming out. He said he stands by everything that he said.
This is what he said on the bench earlier.
I don't really care if, and you know, he's a great dude. Jeff Passan, great, great guy. Very good dude. But I don't care if he's pissed off at me. I don't care if Rob Manfred's pissed off at me. It doesn't really matter that much to my day-to-day life. Mm-hmm. And I think because of that, I was maybe a little bit more willing to come forward with some of the information that, you know, that I shared.
Your boy is backpedaling, and he tweeted that.
Can you do that, though, Nick? Can you start going back after you've stepped off the ledge that far?
If it hurts his job, if it hurts him from getting jobs and making money, I can see why he feels some type of way. He probably got threatened left and right. I don't know what happened. Not threatened, but he probably, you know, his job was definitely threatened.
I know what happened, Nick. It just hit me when you were talking.
What?
Part of what he was talking about when he was giving his credibility for why people should believe him this morning was, you know who's on MLB Network on a regular basis talking baseball because they believe that what he says is the truth? This guy, talking about himself. I guarantee you if baseball doesn't want this coming out, someone from MLB quietly gave him a ring and said, if you want to continue to be on MLB Network, you probably need to slow your roll.
Well, the problem is he called it unfounded allegations. Now, are you calling it unfounded allegations because you don't want to lose your job, or is it really genuinely unfounded and you just made this big old mess for nothing? That's the big deal. That's the big deal. I mean, this is more of what he said about the Major League Baseball.
I think it's important to tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Major League Baseball does that. I don't think they ever do that. And like I said earlier, I love baseball, but it just doesn't affect my day-to-day life all that much. And so I just decided to take the leap. Yeah, it got a lot bigger than I anticipated. Really, probably wish it didn't get quite as big as it did.
I mean, he's showing a little regret there, but just to read his tweet again, I deeply regret everything that I said. It has turned my life upside down. It was a mistake, and I should not have reported on unfounded allegations. I sincerely apologize to all of those impacted. It should not have happened, and it will not happen again. Stick to stats. He just tweeted that out about 30 minutes ago, man. So
that,
he's completely retracting everything that he said.
That bothers the hell out of me.
I know it does, because you were excited to talk about it.
Because I was excited for fairness to be back in baseball. For them to have to be, whether it be forced or not, they were forced to have to own it and deal with the reality that the Astros weren't the only team to do it. And that as a judicial body for the league, that the same way you were going after spider tackers, you had to go after every team that cheated. And God, I hate hearing that.
Yeah. I mean, it just happened. I just noticed it. I And look, we'll play more of this, more of what Spader said on the bench, and then we'll reiterate the tweet just to make, you know, to let everybody know that the guy completely retracted everything that he said.
Our only hope now, Nick, is that all the players that I keep mentioning that we were talking about and all the people that had personal experiences with this stuff come out and go, no, he might have been browbeat into submission, but we're not going to let him go down by himself. We're here to pick up the pieces and go, he was right. This is what happened. These are the teams. We need other heroes now because obviously Superman just swallowed kryptonite. Damn it. All right, we're just getting started. HRNP listener line 713-780-3776. You can call or text that number. Also, hit us up on Twitch. Hit us on Twitter. On Twitter, it's at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Together, we're the Press Box. This is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real. Let's go. Fun. Sports. Listening to the Press Box on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Back just getting it rolling on the Press Box on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM. It's Nick and myself taking you till 4. I am pissed off. I am not doing well right now because I felt like baseball, whether it was their choice or not, was finally going to get cleaned up. That all the hypocrisy I was talking about, but the way they were handling these two situations separately, would no more be a factor. The fact that the bench got this great get today by getting Ryan Spader on live, and he backed every single bit of it up, and he believed in everything that he said, that he had backup, that he had his sources, that he knew what he was saying. He wasn't scared of baseball. He wasn't upset if Jeff Passan and others were bothered by it. And now he sends out this tweet that Nick thankfully found and brought to us last segment, basically walking it all back. And I guarantee you it was MLB strong-arming him. And the reason why I guarantee you it is because they're scared to death that they know that he knows and others are going to start to find out there's a lot more to all this. He starts with, amongst other things, talking about the big three, the Red Sox, the Yankees, and the Dodgers.
Three teams that are considered by Major League Baseball to be quote-unquote international teams, and that's the Los Angeles Dodgers, the Boston Red Sox, and the New York Yankees. And I think that Major League Baseball is so desperate to spread internationally that they will do anything to protect those three teams. And I think that that is sort of what we're seeing.
I don't disagree with him, Nick, but yet I completely disagree with the philosophy. And that's what you get when you get old schoolers making decisions like this that are supposed to be from in educated positions. When you think about it, you're looking at the history of three of the most historic franchises, aside from the Cubs, throwing in three of the most historic and most well-known franchises in the history of the sport, based on through history from Babe Ruth, through the Dodgers-Yankees series, from Jackie Robinson on through the 70s, and you're trying to put your stake in the sand going, this is what we're going on. Well, correct me if I'm wrong, Nick. Does Fernando Tatis Jr. play for any of those teams?
No.
Does Ronald Acuna Jr.?
No.
Does Mike Trout?
Negative.
You're not supposed to be worried about three teams carrying your lunch bag internationally. You're supposed to be worried about your sport carrying your sport internationally because of all the great players, because of the exciting play, and because of all the different teams that are involved with all the different nationalities and backgrounds of all these players that are represented in this worldwide game. That's already narrow thinking, and that leads you to believe Rob Manfred doesn't know what he's doing. It leads you to believe that he has a completely backward way of thinking.
Yeah, he's not. I don't. Look, I can see why I'm not defending him, but I can see why Manfred, you know, has a priority for those three teams. We talk about it all the time. We talk about the big baseball teams, the teams with the bigger markets, the teams that generate more revenue than other teams, and how that's just simply going to prioritize everything. There's going to be a situations where the Dodgers are going to get preferential treatment or the Yankees. But in this particular case with Ryan Spader, it just, the reason why it bothers me, because even in the backtrack, even in the retracted tweet, where it's a bunch of retracted statements, even that is ambiguous. Like, are you, do you deeply regret everything because it's not true? Or you deeply regret everything because your life is turned upside down? Why is your life turned upside down? Who reached out to you exactly? Obviously, everything that's come of this whole situation, and he even said it in the audio clip that we just played when he joined the bench on 97.5, that he didn't expect it to get that big. Now that it is that big, I'm pretty sure he just doesn't want to lose his gig. And that's an unfortunate situation, because you're supposed to be reporting fairly and objectively. And obviously he felt like Jeff Passan, he wouldn't have mentioned him in that interview if he felt like Jeff Passan was genuinely reporting objectively. I mean,
no,
he even talked about one of his favorite players, Chase Utley. So
we've been targeting Jeff Passan for a reason, because he didn't attack with the same vigor and venom the other teams and investigate like he did the Astros. So we already knew that we had the issue. Now it was coming to fruition that everyone should have had it with us, because it wasn't narrow thinking. It was fair in that they should have treated it by all teams are created equal to be also judged equally. And then he started bringing credibility, what we've heard in the underground over and over again, from the teams to the methods. They weren't on an island all by themselves, being the Astros. Everyone literally was trying to do it or doing it. In fact, he mentioned in the interview this morning, when he mentioned Eric Kratz and the podcast that came up a few weeks ago, the fact that he had responded to the tweets in support yesterday, but also had made sure to correct him when he said the Royals were the first team that put their video department and their video room right next to the dugout. He corrected him and said, no, they were one of the last. Everyone was doing it by then, which leads you to believe more credibility to everything that he was putting out there. No one was going, yeah, you're full of it, bro. You're just making this stuff up. No. Most people were on board believing it. Yankees, Dodgers fans, they were cringing over this.
Well, the camera situation in particular was definitely something that caught my eye, too. Because when you think about the extent of cheating and the fact that the Astros admitted to it, I mean, a massive contributing factor to everything is the fact that they installed a camera in center field. But this is what he said about Kratz. Ryan Spader said about Kratz on the bench earlier this morning.
How can you be so specific? And this is the one thing that I kind of was questioning when people were reaching out to me saying that, you know, I'm full of crap and all this other stuff. How can you be so specific and be making something up? I mean, this man was talking about, like, I believe a vibrator on a bench.
The Theragun.
That is insanely specific to be making something up. And from my perspective, Eric Kratz, he's a very, very well-respected ball player. You know, he grinded. He didn't make the league until he was like 30 years old or something like that. He's very, very well-respected throughout the league. And it just seems very, very strange to me that all of a sudden he would want to make something up to disparage the game for whatever reason, a game that he played for nearly 20 years.
So why would you backtrack, dude?
Can you rewind that, Nick, about 20 seconds and just run that last part again? But this time when he says it, I want you to think of it not in terms of Eric Kratz. I want you to think about it in terms of Ryan Spader.
You want to replay the last 20
seconds?
All right, hold on. Let me get it for you. Just give me one second.
Yeah, so what I want you to do is visualize, instead of thinking about why it was about Kratz, Eric Kratz, I want you to think, because of the tweet we just heard about that just came out from Spader, this is what I want you to think about it from his perspective with this quote.
He's a very, very well-respected ball player. You know, he grinded. He didn't make the league until he was like 30 years old or something like that.
Grinding writer.
He's very, very well-respected throughout
Blue
the league.
Blue check mark.
And it just seems very, very strange to me that all of a sudden he would want to make something up to disparage the game for whatever reason, a game that he played for nearly 20 years.
Or loved. That's my thing. You love the game of baseball. You've made that evident. You completely reiterate it every time. You talk about the people you know, still playing, used to play, the writers, the broadcasters, whatever the case may be. Why would you make any of this up and just do this for the sake of doing it? We all know that you're the hero we need. We all know that we believe that you have those sources. You have credibility. You have what we need. Why now are you Michael Jackson moonwalking backwards? I could not be more disgusted with you right now, Ryan Spader.
It's unfortunate. And look, to a certain extent, I kind of feel bad for the guy because it's the assumption that I have is that his job is on the line. Whether I'm right or wrong, I don't have the evidence. It's the assumption that I have is that his job was on
Which
the line.
Job? And, because he doesn't work for MLB, but he does guest appear on MLB Network.
But the reason why, okay, when you guest appear on MLB Network, a part of the reason why you're a contributor is because they've given you access somehow, some way. You're not just an MLB contributor and you're never going to any of the games.
So you're saying like pulling his credentials?
I think not just that, just relationships in general are going to be soured. Guys that he's been able to get quotes from, he's probably not going to be able to get quotes from. Maybe he has relationships with players or managers or former coaches. All that could potentially go away because of what he's revealing. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And that's the unfortunate part of this game and the politics and everything about it. But it exists everywhere, and it's unfortunate. But he was very passionate about it yesterday. He had a really, really long thread. Oh, actually, the day before yesterday, joined. No, it was yesterday.
Today joined on
the bench. The bench this morning. And he felt like it sounded like he was pushing the gas on everything he said in terms of his thread. And then, what, 45 minutes ago, he backtracks everything on Twitter. He backtracks on everything that he said. The unfounded allegation part, that just drives me crazy because he had too many specifics. He made a good point on the bench talking about the Theragun. That is a very specific district. You know, they didn't say a massage.
Didn't say garbage can.
They didn't. Yeah, they said they were very specific. That's what drives me crazy about the whole situation. But I'm kind of not shocked. You know what I mean? I'm kind of not surprised.
I'm kind of pissed. I can tell you that. All right, we'll continue to roll on. Spader Talk starts it off, but that doesn't mean where it ends all bees all. We've got plenty more to get to, including the joy and euphoria of another Astros victory. They're at it with a good team tonight, starting a four-game series with the Chicago White Sox, as Jose Urquidy will be on the bump, so we can talk about that. Alex Bregman out, I would think, for at least a little while as they figure out his leg issues. But we want you to be a part of the program, so join us. We've got much more as we're just a half hour in. It is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Back on the box! Okay, we'll get back to it. Let's just all take a deep breath. Let's understand that there may not be heroes that we need, but heroes that we want that have to start coming out of the woodwork right now to save this thing. Because as giddy as I was yesterday that Major League Baseball was going to be forced into getting out of hypocrisy mode and have to face the music about all the different issues they have within their sport, our hero Ryan Spader just decided to crawl into his cocoon, his shell, and moonwalk back off a cliff. So let's go to the positives. Astros sweep a two-game series with the Rangers. They continue their winning ways. Yes, they lost Alex Bregman. Yes, that's unfortunate. No, he wasn't at the top of his game. He was slumping. So maybe it does him some good. Yes, because the fact that Aledmys Diaz is out with the broken hand, it poses some issues offensively because now you're going to see Toro, possibly. You're going to see other guys that are going to have to fill in, and maybe the offense isn't going to be as potent. But like I said, he was slumping. The good news is, what we haven't been seeing lately is an excessive amount of home runs, just extra base hits and runs scored and a good run differential. Last night we saw six bombs. We saw two guys get two apiece. We saw Jose Altuve, who ended a game with a grand slam, start a game with another home run, and then hit another one later on, also becoming the first player in Major League Baseball history, which, by the way, Spader was completely taken aback by, impressed by, and wanting to use. Well, now you can't use it, Ryan, because you've completely let everyone
now you're
going to
poop on the guy. You're you went from hero.
No. Because you know what? I'm going to call Planters right now. I'm going to call Planters on the hotline. And if we can get Ryan Spader some nuts from Planters so that he can go back to where he was yesterday, then he's the hero we all need again. But because he was denutted and he's done this moonwalk, I'm aggravated.
We should text him. We should be like, yo, you want to get on the line?
Get on
the
air. Let's go.
And talk about it. There's no way. After what he just tweeted, there's no way he's going to do this. There's no way he's going to go back.
Guilt him into it. You know what? You went on our station, this booming message board of people that were clamoring for what you had to say, and we bit into every word, and we were hanging on a thread by every sentence, and suddenly you just changed your entire direction. Why? I'm going to Stephen A.M. Why did you come on our show to say what you had to say just so you could change it back? It's like I do daily. Why? I want to know. You're not Carmelo Anthony. I mean, how could he do this to us?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Anyway, the Astros won. They had six home runs. They're taking on a good White Sox team now as they continue to put a barometer up in terms of how well they've played all year against the best teams in baseball, i.e. the last homestand and road trip, Blue Jays, Red Sox, Dodgers, Padres. Now let's see how they stack up against the White Sox. Another good test for them.
You think this off time is going to be good for Alex Bregman? I mean, Dusty's on record saying it's going to be a while. I don't know if they've given an update in terms of a timeline, but he is going to be out for a while. I think I heard Charlie say he was 0-for-19, so he's been doing pretty bad.
We talked about yesterday how he started getting into the hard luck where he was still, even when he was hitting balls hard, he was hitting them at people.
Yeah.
It started to affect his fielding a little bit because we saw the play in the 10th inning. There was a line drive he normally catches. Not only didn't he catch it, but it ended up letting the run score, but thankfully they didn't need it. He had an error earlier in the game. I think from a mental calmness standpoint and being able to press the reset button, as much as it hurts you short term with your lineup, it's probably the best thing for both your team and for Alex Bregman. Just let him get his head right. Let him get healthy. We've heard all season long he's been dealing with nagging issues with his legs.
It's the quad injury. What do you think? You think it's a recurring type of thing, like the hamstring? Or?
So the hamstring was before. Now it's the quad. Evidently, because a lot of times you favor legs or try to walk a certain way and run a certain way because of what part of your leg is injured. Now this allows him to just get right. You know?
Yeah.
Just get right overall. Don't come back till you're ready. But then when you come back, you'll have a clear mind, you'll have a healthy body, and you can go and attack the rest of the regular season. So I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I am too, because I think there's three players that if they just remain semi-consistent, just a little consistent, I think his absence won't be so painful. And it would be Chaz. It would be Kyle Tucker, obviously, if he can get back from COVID. And it obviously would be Miles Straw. And those three guys have been doing okay. They've been doing their job. So if those three guys can continue to hit, I think this stint or this period of Alex Bregman's absence won't be as painful. You'll give him the opportunity to heal, like you mentioned, and hopefully his quad will be okay by the time. And a good job by the broadcast for recognizing what happened. Like as soon as he put his head down to really go for first, you can see that his leg or his quads were bothered, and he ended up limping off all the way back to the dugout. So, I mean, look, he's going to be out for a while. He's obviously a part of the core and a good piece of this Astros offense. But I think if those three guys do okay, it won't be as painful.
Offensively is the only thing I worry about because Robel Garcia played third base last night, did a nice job. I don't have any issues trusting him. I mean, Abraham Toro, again, aside from being the Texans mascot, I'm fine with Toro in the field. I'm concerned about Toro at bat.
Same thing with Garcia. Wasn't he like 0-for-4 yesterday?
And Taylor Jones, I've already told you, he should have Skeeters on him no matter where he goes the rest of the year. That's all I want to do is see him. But he's not going to be an option at third base. The problem is that you lose a guy that you have complete trust in offensively in the fact that you don't have Aledmys Diaz. Because Aledmys Diaz, you can put him anywhere. One thing you know is, regardless of how, and he's going to be solid, he's like this team's Marwin. He can play anywhere, but the one thing you know is he's going to give you good at-bats when he's in the box.
Okay.
I don't have that kind of confidence with Garcia. I don't have that kind of confidence with Toro.
Agreed.
And so I don't want this to be an issue that James Click focuses on more so than that horrendous bullpen.
Yeah. No, and that's really important. And I think I think it's pretty obvious. I think bullpen is going to be what they'll address first. I don't know. Maybe I give this front office too much confidence. But we do need an updated list of Astros players that you hate. So who do you hate now?
It's not about hate. No, remember now, everybody thought that I wanted to like completely trade away Kyle Tucker, which I never said. I just wanted him to start trying to
live up to. You hated Miles Straw.
Again, I said Miles Straw could be your permanent pinch runner and defensive replacement outfielder. I hated him in the starting lineup every day. Now, since I've lit a fire under his ass and now we're making s'mores and hot dogs, maybe things have changed a little bit. But to me, I still don't think he's a regular everyday center fielder for a championship type caliber baseball team like the Astros. With that said, in the bullpen, I don't know how much time you have. Because if I get into the bullpen that I am perturbed by, thank God something happened with Joe Smith where, like much like Alex Bregman, I don't care if he gets his mind right. I just need to get him his arm right. And if he can't, then I need him to... He got his little record of being the most appearances on an active roster. Now you can fade off into the sunset, let the Allie LaForce be with you, your wife, and walk away and watch her do sideline reports. Fine. Unless you can get it right. I don't like Brooks Raley. As a person, I'm sure he's a swell fella. But I don't like Brooks Raley coming in with a... Now at least I could say a plus six ERA where it used to be a plus nine. No matter how much Dusty trusted him.
Well, he didn't keep him out very long. So if you keep him out for 0.1 innings pitched, I mean, maybe it's not as painful.
Brandon Belak is starting to get to be more than... He's like a butt pimple, only this time it's got a whitehead and it's ready to explode because it's getting more painful by the time. The appearance. Okay? Ralph Garza, I've seen enough of you already. You can be a skeeter. I need... The one that bothers me the most is a guy that I thought was a good pickup in Ryan Stanek. But over the last month, Ryan Stanek has fallen off the planet too. Brian Abreu, you stay right there in Sugarland, where everything's sweeter for you, okay? Because I'm tired of hearing your electric arm. You and Anoli Paredes, the electric arm with major league stuff and a minor league way of thinking about finding the strike zone. I'm done with those people. Until they figure their stuff out. Fair enough.
And more on the Astros, more local stuff too. I want to talk a little bit about DeSean. I want to talk a little bit about the NBA playoffs. Chris Paul, former Houston Rocket. God, just an unfortunate situation. But before we do that, I do want to talk about the new NFL Madden cover. Have you seen it? I heard about that.
Okay.
I want to talk about that, but we'll go back to local for sure. But coming up next, I do want to talk a little bit about the NFL Madden cover.
Someone said I compared Straw to Mariznick. Yep, I did, and I'll continue to do it. I absolutely continue to do it, and I won't back away from it, and I'm not going to be Ryan... I'm almost cussed there. I'm not going to be Ryan Moonwalker.
You're not going to be Joel Spader?
No, I'm not Ryan Spader the Moonwalker. I won't walk that back. I'll walk it right into your lunchtime, big dog. Yeah, I compared him, and that's where I lead the comparison.
Ryan Spader. I mean, Joel Blank was so Team Spader.
Ryan Spader.
24 hours
Such
ago.
Such a disappointment.
I thought you were going to call him something else, but...
Good Such a night. We'll be back with more of the Press Box.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
I think the biggest thing that bothers me about all this, Nicholas, is the fact that after having their testicular structures... For those that call themselves men and also fans of the Dodgers and the Yankees, having those structures take a course due north into their intestines and up into their throat because they were so screwed and worried about what was coming next, they now suddenly have found everything to be back to normal where they can come back out of the woodwork and just point fingers at everyone else and feel vindicated like they're still innocent and squeaky clean.
There's no... direction to point fingers other than Ryan Spader. He's the one who made the statements. He's the one who backtracked. So, I mean, I don't understand how you can feel vindicated. If you're
if I'm just reading some of them that have responded to Spader's backtrack,
and I believe you, I believe that's on Twitter for sure.
But I'm saying their weak ass responses are, it was only Astros fans that were giddy about this, and now because it's unfounded and there's no truth to it, now where are y'all? Where's everybody?
Why do you use the word unfounded? We're talking about Ryan Spader, if you're just tuning in, who backtracked on a whole bunch of tweets that he had the day before in regards to other teams cheating, where the camera system started, everything. And he has since tweeted a backtrack statement at 12:42, which was, what, about an hour ago, regretting everything that he said. He said it turned his life upside down, and that he reported on unfounded allegations. That part bothers me the most. Because if you got proof, if you got sources, you said you had more than one player that could confirm and verify this. You said one of your favorite players in Chase Utley is one of the all-time biggest cheaters. You gave very specific details, and yet you backtrack. So, I mean, unfortunate situation, but
it
just sucks.
Because, it really does suck because, again, I'm of the school of, I just want it all to be treated equally. And I want every team to be, you know, under the judicial process, treated fairly. And,
right.
And just what he said about the fact that they believe the Red Sox, Yankees, and the Dodgers are the international teams,
right,
for the world,
right,
is unfair. And right, it shows you that they're not doing exactly what everybody wants them to do, which is treat everybody the same way. If one team did it and they got caught and there's rumors and there's some substance that at least indicates other teams could have done it too, investigate them all the same way.
Yeah.
And go at them with the same vigor.
Absolutely. All right. We teased the Madden cover. Did you see it?
It involves your boy Patrick and Tommy Terrific.
Yeah. Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes will share the Madden cover. It's the first time in 12 years. The last time that's happened was with Larry Fitzgerald and Troy Polamalu. So the first time in 12 years they share a cover. And I actually think it's a smart thing. If you're Patrick Mahomes, you got to feel real good because you've already made the cover once. Now you're making it again, but this time with an all-time great in Tom Brady. That's pretty cool. I mean, you've got to feel pretty good about yourself despite losing the big game last season.
Is there a jinx? A cover jinx?
Yep, there is. So do you think Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes will not win the big game this upcoming season because of...
I hope so.
You don't want the Chiefs or the Bucks to win, right?
Nope.
You want one team?
I want the Texans to win because they're my team, baby, and I feel like they got it. Who was on the cover last year?
I think it was Patrick Mahomes, if I'm not mistaken.
Didn't win it. How'd that work for him?
No, well, they come a year. It doesn't come after, so.
No, I know, but I'm just saying. So he was on the cover last year, and they didn't win it.
Oh.
So I like the fact that these two on the cover means we'll get someone else. I like that, too.
I do, yeah. I mean, It could change it up. Maybe your boy Aaron Rodgers gets back on the cover. Or has he ever been on the cover?
He needs to get back on the roster first before I worry about what covers he's on.
All right, but let's talk about this, though. Now, I read on a couple of websites that John Madden only gets $2 million per year in the form of a royalty check. Isn't that light to you?
He's also in bad shape. I saw someone post a picture the other day where I think it was either Ronnie Lott or an ex-NFL player. There was a golf tournament or something out in California where he lives.
Uh-huh.
And he looked like he was...
I mean, he just turned 85.
Yeah,
I mean,
he looked like he was either in a wheelchair or sitting and very frail.
Well, that's not good. He has a net worth of $200 million.
So he's no longer the audio for the game, correct? He's just... It's his name on it.
I don't think so. I think they just used the broadcasters.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so, I think getting $2 million a year still, when it's not at the level that it used to be for you, and the fact that it's still, I think, almost as a kudos to you and a paying homage, it's still referred to as Madden. I think that for just using his name, getting $2 million a year, I think that's good.
I think it's fair also because what else is he going to do? I mean, how much money do you need? I mean, unless he has like a gambling problem. You just mentioned he looks frail. Hopefully he's okay. I'll throw some other numbers at you. $1.49 billion in revenue across all platforms for EA, meaning FIFA, meaning Madden, everything. It was last year in 2020, $1.49 billion in revenue.
Billion with a B.
Billion.
Okay.
Jim and John Madden only gets $2 million a year. Now, at one point in Madden's like broadcasting career, He made as high as $8 million, which I had no clue they were paying that much for him as a
bidding war for him. So remember that he went. There was a bidding war that so that he could be on Monday Night Football, and then he could be on Sunday Night Football. So there was a bidding war multiple times for him, and he was able to boost because had capitalized because of that.
Yeah.
So I just think that, Nick, it's like what I'd like to know is of that $1.4 billion, how much revenue is directly associated with Madden football?
I was looking for that. But for whatever reason, they wouldn't isolate the revenue. I couldn't find a website that isolated the revenue for Madden alone as opposed to FIFA. I'm pretty sure it's out there. I just didn't find it in time.
Okay.
It only gave me the revenue for the entire EA platform. So, I mean, $1.49 billion a year doesn't hurt. And apparently it's going up every year.
The reason why I say that is because if you look at LeBron's deal with Nike or Kobe's until it expired, or Jordan's a little different because it's not a line under the swoosh. It is the Jordan brand. So it's a different. But a lot of guys, when they lend their name to a product, you either get a percentage of sales and or a lump sum. So if I'm Madden and I say, you know, I'm not who I used to be, and I'm not bringing as much to the table as it was when they used to use my audio and stuff. But because it's always been Madden, I think it's pretty fair to say you don't have to lift a finger, and your royalty is $2 million a year. And then either you do it on an escalator, say as long as and as if we reach sales for Madden football at this, you get that. At this, you get that. Okay. And you get that. And
like different milestones, he'll get a different commission check.
You'll get a bonus check.
Oh, you know what also could happen, and I don't know if this is accurate. If it is really accurate in the fact that he only gets $2 million per year in terms of a royalty check, maybe that was like an old deal that was kind of grandfathered in. Maybe it was like a lifetime deal. Maybe it was like a 10 or 15-year deal that he signed, and he thought, you know what, $2 million a year sounds fine. I like what they're doing. The only problem I have with Madden, and I've talked about this a bunch, is that they update very little. And then they charge you another $60, $70, $80 a year. And that's my only issue. And the same issue with FIFA and MLB The Show.
You said what he's worth. He's 85. You going to bitch about the fact that you're
getting $2 million a year?
$2 million to do nothing.
Probably not.
Your relatives are probably going, Big John, just keep bringing it in. Whatever. That's awesome that it's still coming in. Because
he could put in a little fun for each one of his grandkids. I don't know if he has grandkids, but I'm assuming he does.
But because you think about this, and I've told you this before. I don't know if I've told the listeners, but this will boggle your mind too. Allen Iverson, Charles Barkley, Tracy McGrady have lifetime contracts with their shoe companies. Iverson and Tracy McGrady have lifetime contracts with Reebok, which is under the umbrella of Adidas. Tracy McGrady with Adidas. Charles Barkley, because they're still doing Charles shoes and everything like that, he has a deal with Nike, and they gave him stock in the company for doing what he did for all those years, aside from the other guys I've talked about. So you think about this. I get it from Nike's perspective. Jordan, LeBron, greatest, some of the greatest of all time, if not the two greatest of all time. I'm paying them for the rest of their careers. Yeah. Tracy McGrady?
I don't know about that either. I was just about to say, are you going to give a lifetime deal to Tracy McGrady? And I love him. Don't get it twisted. It was a Rockets. It was a Rocket guy. I mean, lifetime deal to Tracy. I don't know about that.
I'm thinking the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
Right? Now, if Penny Hardaway still gets a piece of the pennies because they're still bringing out the foam posits and versions of the Penny Hardaway,
I'm going to be
that's
biased.
Fair.
I love Penny Hardaway.
Yeah, that's fair. But
so Jermaine tweeted at us. Lamar Jackson was actually the one that was on the cover for Madden last year, and that's actually correct. So thank you, Jermaine.
It didn't work out so well for him.
I mean, but people were predicting that. People were predicting that they were going to scheme against him after he had that one big year, and that they were going to scheme against him. And look, the Ravens have been on record saying that they need to throw the ball more and diversify their offense a little bit. Neither here nor there, but I did feel like it was warranted to correct it, because I did remember seeing Lamar Jackson on the cover.
Okay. Well, I stand right here on this show by telling you I hope both those guys fall flat on their face and fall short of Super Bowl. I'm fine with that. Deshaun, you want to put Deshaun on the cup? All right.
Dang.
You said you got Deshaun news. I hope that's not it.
Deshaun, it's not news. But talk about it a little bit. See if there's anything that we can discuss.
Deshaun didn't make the cover. That's news.
That is news. It's massive news. I don't think he'll ever make the cover.
Under a small towel. I did hear, however, that there at least were rumors and things being talked about Massage 2021. He might be on the cover of that. If that's what you're going to play on your Xbox.
Do they have that? That'd be hilarious if they had like a massage game. Where like you can get...
Barstool's probably working on it right now.
If you get the massage done faster, whoever finishes the massage quicker wins. Quickest, I should say.
I think you get bonus points for if you're able to make contact without using your hands or your feet.
Like if you walk into the room and then you leave like 2 minutes later, you probably won the game.
Not well, if I get extended play because I was able to not use my hands or my feet and I make legit contact with the masseuse, I don't know. I don't think that's game over. Although it might be.
I'd be kind of worried to get a massage right now.
Why?
I mean, although Drayon 290 says he does it every month. Once a month.
How credible do you think that is?
He seems pretty serious about it to me.
My back is killing me from driving the semi. I need you to rub my lumbar region. Ah! We'll be back with the second hour of the show right here on the Press Box.
ESPN 97.5.